And welcome back to the latest and greatest episode of the Shaving Points Podcast. My name is Jayden May, joined as always by my co-host, Quentin Crisco. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful, Jay. I am just so relieved. The NFL preseason is over. Regular season is on the horizon. And this weekend, we have a full slate of college football. It's a good time to be a football fan.
We got a little taste of it last week. USC looked good on offense. Defense still sucks. Hawaii Vanderbilt ended up being a decent game. Pretty good taste, but I'm so excited for this weekend.
It is week one of college football. It has to be the best time on earth to try to hit a parlay. You can make some crazy parlays, and I feel like every year we are like within inches of just hitting a wild one with that has big money on it, and I'm trying to get in this year.
I think it's the one sport you have at least somewhat of an advantage over the odds. Everything's so unknown, and yeah. A sport with so much turnover year after year, if you follow things closely and you know how good one team is or how good one team isn't going to be or have a good idea and you can catch a good line, but like I got some pretty good lines this week. Big opportunities for sure.
Very excited. And after we give you guys some of our picks here for week one, we are just going to dive in on our Texas Tech Red Raiders. Top to bottom, look at that roster, look at the schedule, give all our thoughts, look into some stats, and tell you why they will be the national champion.
Guaranteed.
Can't lose.
Can't lose. All right. Or you want to talk any NFL? Jonathan Taylor, any surprising cuts, acquisitions? Arizona Cardinals just refused to put forth any effort whatsoever to win games this season. So
Cardinals are making us look bad. We stuck our neck out for the Arizona Cardinals this offseason. Now they're going and just getting rid of all their good players, and we're going to look stupid.
Came out whenever they released DeAndre Hopkins, I guess. They could have waited like 3 days and saved like $10 million or something, and they intentionally cut him when they did so they could meet like the cap floor.
I mean, I understand it. I understand it. As the Bears, who were a team this past year who needed to spend a bunch of money just to hit the cap floor, it's like a three-year rolling cap floor. Yeah, it's nice to not have to do that. If you can end up in weird positions of like, we just have to spend money, it doesn't have to be smart money.
Yeah.
It can be tough to navigate. So I understand it.
I feel like that's whenever you pay guys a little bit over market value that have the potential, won't be super expensive, but if they play to their potential, they're going to be a steal of a contract.
Precisely. One thing from cut down day that really stands out to me, there wasn't a lot outside of the Cardinals just going full tank mode that stood out to me aside from just the Colts. What are they doing here with Darius Wright? You just drafted this kid in the fifth round. He was Dane Brugler's number 63 overall prospect in the draft. He was, Zerline had a third or fourth round grade on him. This was a guy who was, should have been a lock to make a roster. And I'm shocked that he didn't, that he just got waived. I think Kansas City picked him up. The NFL's just giving away this kid to the world champs for free. I don't think he's a day one contributor. Like, he's definitely very raw. You don't find athletes like that very often. And he's good at special teams. It's not like you can't find a role for him on your bench as a special teamer. Very perplexing. I want to know the full story as to why they released Darius Rush, because it's just weird.
And it's also not like the Colts have such a stacked roster that they can't afford to keep a project piece on it.
Right. Their cornerback depth is like very questionable. They kind of need a guy like that who, you know, maybe, you know, you don't know what he'll be. Maybe he'll become something. Never know. It's just, yeah. It's bizarre that they just wiped their hands clean of this kid and said, all right, guaranteed contract, don't matter, he's gone.
It's crazy. But next week, Chiefs, Lions, can't wait. But this week, we have college football. College football owns the weekend.
Yes, it does. For the only time from now until next year. Yeah. Next year, week one, college football basically has the whole weekend to themselves. That's exciting.
I think that's why week zero should be the week before week zero, and week one should have been last weekend. Then you get 2 full weeks of college football in the NCAA, you know.
That's above my pay grade, but I agree. So you want to jump in on some of these?
Yeah, I'll let you kick it off.
Okay, so first one, East Carolina at Michigan. Over, under, 51.5. Last 3 years, Michigan's opener, 58 points. 61 points and then 73 points. Taking the over, over 51 and a half. East Carolina's a better team than who they've played in the past few years, but I think they'll score, if they're really better, they'll score a few more points. And I think Michigan sets a tone week one every year of what they want to be. I mean, they've almost scored 51 every year the last 3 years in their
own. Yeah.
And it's at home. I just think that's an easy play. Minus 110 odds. Put a unit on it.
I mean, this is the most hyped team Michigan's been in forever. I mean, they had a little bit of hype going into last year. The question last year was like, well, can they do it again? And now they've done it again. And so now they're big dog on the block. I think they're going to be bullies. And yeah, they might hit that by themselves.
That's exactly my thought. Especially J.J. McCarthy's supposed to be a better quarterback than what they've had in the past. Last year, obviously, he was their quarterback. But the years before that, this is a team that should score 51 in their opener. That seems like an easy over to me.
So I got an over for you, and I'm going to keep taking this team's over. I got two units on this. I'm going to take the over every single week until their defense proves that they can stop anybody, because they have the best quarterback in the country. They're going to score 50-plus points every week by themselves. And I don't think they can hold anybody under 20 at this point. San Jose State just scored 28 on them last weekend. Playing Nevada this weekend, total of 66. I'm putting two units on this over.
That's USC?
Yes, USC Nevada.
I thought about that one. I didn't know enough about Nevada to take it, but I mean, I think you make it.
I don't care about Nevada. I don't know if they're better than San Jose State or not. I think they can score 14. So, I mean, we need over 50 for USC, and I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, that team, I like that.
They are loaded with offensive talent.
Yeah, makes sense to me. Next up here, I got Colorado, primetime, coming into coach. Going into Fort Worth, your boys, the Horned Frogs, going into TCU. Give me Colorado plus 20 and a half. I think that's an energized program. It's a lot of new players there, a lot of unscouted players for TCU, lot of mystery around that program. 20 and a half seems like a hefty line there. TCU lost a lot of talent to the NFL this past year. And maybe they replicated it. Maybe they didn't. I think Deion's going to have his guys right. And the fact that he has a lot of guys who there's not a lot of film out there about them, let alone about how Deion's going to use them, I think he's going to use that to his advantage.
I've been all over this game back and forth, and I wanted to take Colorado. They were just so bad last year, but at the same time, it's a whole new roster. I mean, I don't know how many starters they even have from last year. Shadur Sanders.
I don't know if they have any. I feel like they cleared the whole roster.
And it's not like TCU is a hostile environment or nothing. All 17,000 of their fans there. So, yeah, I mean, I want to do that so bad. But Colorado is such an unknown. I think TCU is a solid team. And if Colorado is even close to what they were last year, TCU is going to beat them by 60. That's the only thing that kind of held me back. I do like the prime aspect of it. If this game was in Colorado and TCU was 14 to 15, I would probably take Colorado at home. Prime times, like home opener, all that. I think Colorado fans will show up this season. At TCU, different territory. I love Prime. He's on the big stage now, so we'll see. I like it, but I don't like it.
So, do you think this line would be different if TCU did not beat Michigan last year?
I don't think so.
No? Yeah. Just curious. I think there's a little hype in that number there. I think there's a little there on both sides. I think there's hype. Like there's Colorado hype and TCU hype. And I think the Colorado hype is more deserved than the TCU.
Last year, TCU was, I think, 13 point favorites going to Colorado. And that was before anybody knew how bad Colorado was. I think TCU is still getting quite a bit of respect. And I think they're going to be a solid team this year. I don't think they're going to win 7-1 score games like they did last year and have Hypnotoad. I think they lose maybe five of those seven if they can't run away from people. So we'll see. Next one I have here, Matt Rhule coming back to college at Nebraska, going to Minnesota week one. Matt Rhule was an excellent college coach while he was at Baylor. Pretty good coaching tree for the short time that he was there. I like this Nebraska team a lot. And I think early on this season, you're going to be able to find some value on them. I don't think they're going to win a ton of games. But getting seven with a lot of new guys coming in, new fresh talent, new coach. I think, what did he go at Baylor, like 10-1? his first year there after they were like a 3-win program.
Yeah.
Like he did it immediately at Baylor, and that was a pretty good year for the Big 12 that year too. I think Oklahoma State was a 9-win team. Oklahoma went to the playoffs back when Iowa State was still actually good. It wasn't like it was a down year for the Big 12, and he rolled it. I think he can do it again in the Big 10, maybe not to the same level of success, but I wouldn't say Minnesota's some world beater either. And so getting 7, I like Nebraska there at that number plus 7.
It makes sense. I think it's a logical bet. Like, Matt Rhule is a proven successful college head coach. I don't think there's any question about that.
Especially just stepping in.
Yeah. Next up here, I'm keeping it in the state of Texas with Rice going into Austin, going to take on the Longhorns. I'm taking Texas minus 35. 6 of the last 10 times Texas has faced Rice, they've covered this number. In the last 5, I think it was 4, they've covered. Like, this has been a trend that Texas covers this type of number against Rice. So I'm just sticking with it, just following the historical trend there. I think this is a really strong Texas team. Their talent should cover this number easily compared to Rice's talent.
Yeah, I mean, they could probably have this covered in the first half and then just coast. I like that a lot. I'll keep it in Texas too. Another team that I think is getting overvalued by the books right now, and I think they might be one of the worst Power 5 teams in the country. They probably are the worst Big 12 team, and that's Houston. I'm going to take UTSA going to Houston laying 2. I'm going to take UTSA minus 2 at Houston. I think Houston's bad, 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 bad.
I was staring at this game, actually, because I was like, do I like Houston at plus money? I don't know anything about Houston. I feel like I should like this. My gut says no, so I'm just staying away. And I'm glad I did now.
The trap of all traps. You see Houston playing UTSA, Houston at home as an underdog. I wouldn't be surprised if everybody starts seeing that line if you can't get UTSA catching a point and a half by the time this game comes around, because people just don't realize that Houston's terrible.
And I think UTSA is one of the most senior roster college.
And Jeff Traylor's done an amazing job with that program. And they won 9-10 games last couple of years. Played decent in bowl games.
Next up here, unless, did you have anything more to say on that?
No. I love that coach at UTSA, and he's going to get a big-time job here pretty soon, I think.
Well, next up here, I am going up to the great state of Iowa. Iowa's 24-point favorite.
I don't know if they can score 24 points.
Exactly my thoughts. I mean, I'm taking Utah State plus 24, and I don't know jack about Utah State. All I know is that Iowa minus 24, something doesn't compute in my head unless Utah State is one of the worst programs in the country. I mean, I don't know how they're favored. Iowa's favored 24 points, especially when you factor in the gambling stuff that has been hitting their program this offseason.
Yeah, so this is another game that I don't know too much about Iowa this year. I know they still have the same coach, same offensive coordinator, and they haven't been able to score more than like 18 points a game the past 2 years. But another thing that stuck out to me, I think the total in this game is like 48 or something like that. So it's like, they're 24-point favorites, so they're supposed to have one of the best defenses in the Big Ten. How is the total so high as a 24-point favorite? Nothing about those lines made sense to me.
Maybe sprinkle that money line. I'm just thinking, if the total is that high, that makes me think Utah State might have a good offense. And at that point, I'm questioning, should I be sprinkling the money line on this game for Utah State? A 24-point dog?
If you would have told me they were 24-point favorites, I would have assumed the total was going to be like 34.
Yeah, yeah.
The bookmakers are basically saying they expect Utah State to score 20 points.
I mean, they must be thinking like a 35-10 game or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the line says. It seems razor thin on this spread based on the total. Got it. So Utah State plus 24 makes sense to me.
That was one that just had me in a pretzel, and I was like, I'm not touching that because it makes no sense. And I don't know which side it doesn't make sense for, but it makes no sense.
Well, I'll find out. I'll let you know next week.
I may just sprinkle the money line. I might just do that. Utah State has had some upsets here recently. All right, my next one. I've been back and forth on this game. Biggest game of the weekend all for the past 2 weeks. It's Florida State, LSU in Orlando. I wanted to take LSU in this game. literally everybody I've heard talk, everybody I've seen on the internet, everybody is taking LSU. So I'm fading the public. I'm taking Florida State +3.
Let's go. I'm with you. That's the one I was staring at pre-show. I was like, what was my reasoning on this? Yeah, I just couldn't remember the reasoning. I was like, screw it. I don't need reasoning. I think Florida State's a good football team. It's at home for them. LSU is getting a lot of cash on. Give me Florida State.
LSU is supposed to be really good. We'll see. And Florida State's supposed to be really good. So we'll see.
Well, you and me, we're on it. +116. I got it at.
Yeah, I have a +3. I'll probably take that money line as well.
My next one, West Virginia, Penn State. Penn State, super talented this year. I think they're going to run this score up. I'm taking over 50.5. I really like overs week one college football. I think everyone's trying to make a statement. They're all hyped up to be hitting people again because they haven't hit anyone except for their own teammates, unlike the NFL preseason. Like, college doesn't have that. These guys are going to be juiced up and scoring points.
The only thing that worries me about that, Penn State might beat them like 45-0.
It's possible. As I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, I think I looked back at the last few years of Penn State openers, and they're similar to Michigan. They just tend to score a lot of points.
And West Virginia is not good this year.
Yeah.
I think if West Virginia can get 10, that's an easy over. I think you get over 40 for for Penn State, no problem. Just need 10 points from West Virginia. All right, and then my last one, it's a twofer. My second two-unit play of the weekend, and this is a team that we're going to talk about later, Texas Tech hosting Wyoming. To be fair, I don't know anything about Wyoming, but Tech laying 14 at home is outrageous for the talent this Tech team has. I think Vegas is high on Tech for the season. Maybe Wyoming is better than I think they are. Tech minus 14 seems like the easiest play of all time. So I got Tech minus 14 for two units. And then I'm sprinkling Tech minus 20 alternate line at +170.
I like it. I'm riding the Tech train.
This is no disrespect to Wyoming. I don't know anything about them, and I know Tech should be very, very, very good.
Yeah. So my last bet here, I got the Carolinas, North Carolina, South Carolina. I don't know a whole lot about South Carolina's defense this year. I know Spencer Rattler is still the quarterback there. I know North Carolina's got Drake May at quarterback. They need to win shootouts because their defense was not good last year. And until proven otherwise, I'm sticking by that. So I think South Carolina's going to be scoring points. I think North Carolina's going to be scoring points. Give me the over 64.5.
I like that a lot. I don't think either team is going to be as bad as people think they are after this game. I don't think the other team's going to be as good as people think they are. I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins by 20 points or if it comes down to 3 points.
I wouldn't be surprised if it looks like someone's going to lose by 20 points and then it ends up being a 3-point game. 20 points in the fourth quarter and then suddenly it's all tied up. This game actually has some real potential for a really fun QB matchup. Drake May's the guy outside of Caleb Williams, right? Spencer Rattler was the guy once, and he started to show something a little more at South Carolina last year towards the end of the year. I think this could be a sneaky fun game.
3 years ago, Spencer Rattler was +200 to win the Heisman before the season started.
Oh, man. What a world. What a difference. That's wild. All right, so we want to get into our Texas Tech talk. Kind of like a TED talk, but it's all about Texas Tech. Nothing about TED.
No TED here.
Nope, we are anti-Ted on this podcast, actually, believe it or not.
Unless it's Lasso. I can get down with Ted Lasso.
That's a different. Here we go. We can start with the offense. The offense is actually one of my only questions with this team around Tyler Shuck. He's what, 8-1 as a starter at Tech? He hasn't started. He's only started those 9 games.
He's flashed, and then he's looked with this team, with how good it is. Can Tyler Shuck get it done? I don't know. And I don't know what his leash is going to be. I wouldn't hate to see like Baron Morton a little bit throughout the season because there are going to be some games where we're up big. We got to get some youth playing at that quarterback position. This is what, year 3 for Tyler Shuck being QB1 to start the season after he was at Oregon for 2 years.
You hear Joey McGuire talk about this kid. you feel like he's like the second coming of Peyton Manning with the way that he talks about his work ethic, first in the building, last out, every day. He just works so hard. I was never that big of a Tyler Shuck fan the last few years. I was kind of like, eh, he's there, you know?
Yeah, he may be just a little bit better than the other quarterbacks on the roster, but I would rather have a young guy in there, get the experience. But that was in the past when I knew Tech was, their ceiling was 6-7 wins. If we're only going to be winning 6 or 7 games anyway, let's let the kids play basically and see what we got. This year, I kind of like it. Receiver and quarterback. So shockingly enough, are the things that I'm most worried about for this Texas Tech team going into this season.
I can't help but be rooting for Shuck after hearing Joey McGuire talk about it. Joey McGuire clearly believes in this kid a lot, and it makes me want to believe in him. As you mentioned, receiver, that's my other big question on offense, because like someone needs to break out, right? They need a playmaker to like show up. Is Jaron Bradley that playmaker? He had a good year last year.
It's weird not having a guy. I don't think we have anybody that is a liability by any means.
No, yeah.
We don't have a guy, or if we do have a guy, it is to be determined. And
yeah, I mean, to me, it's between Jaron Bradley and Loic Foungi. I think I pronounced that right. Bradley put up 744 yards last year, put up some pretty nice rate stats, almost 15 yards per catch, caught 64% of his balls, first down and 65% of his catches. A lot of missed tackles forced. That's something that was a trend in this wide receiver room. These guys were shifty. They're tough to bring down. 109 QB rating when targeted. You look at Foungi. Foungi's just a speedster, man. He's a D. He was a 4-star. And so on Bradley, he's 6'5", 220. Foungi's 6'4", 215. But the production isn't there for Foungi. Only 430 yards last year. And he graded out well. I think he dealt with some injuries, or maybe he was a more limited role. He was a 4-star, and he fly. So there's stuff to like there. It's just someone needs to jump up and grab the opportunity.
I mean, it's definitely possible. I'm excited to see it. Dre McCray has an awesome name, so I hope he's good.
I hope so, too. I don't know much about the kid, but I'm rooting for him, man. I'm rooting for – not that I'm rooting against anyone. I'm really rooting for him.
Joey McGuire has built a bully with the Texas Tech team. They're huge everywhere.
Oh, Dre McCray, transfer from Austin Peay this year.
Oh, perfect. I thought I've heard the name before.
That all rhymed, too. Dre McCray, Austin Peay. I mispronounced it Austin P, but I like the way I said it better.
Yeah. Listen to this offensive line. 6'6", 315, 6'5", 310, 6'5", 320, 6'4", 300, 6'3", 325. With a 6-foot running back at 230 and a 5'10" running back at 205, on top of Tyler Shuck. What is Tyler Shuck like? 6'4", 6'5"? He's a pretty big dude, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's a prototype quarterback. Like, I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah, 6'5", 230.
This team is built to be a bully. And, I mean, 6'5 at receiver, 6'4 at receiver, 220, 215, like you said. I mean, this team's huge and fast.
You want to talk huge? Look at the tight end room. Baylor Cove and Mason Tharp are like they're basketball players. They're
260, 6'9", 270. I mean, this team's huge. They're big old boys.
And two of those O-linemen, Rusty Stotts and Cole Spencer, both transferred in from West Kentucky this past year, and they were really good at West Kentucky. They were really good.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see them.
Yeah, I'm excited for this team. I will say, if you're watching Texas Tech this year early on, probably get a lot of value taking unders, because this isn't going to be an over team.
No, they're going to beat you up and keep the score low and like just pound you in the dirt. Like this is that type of squad.
Yeah,
which is different. It's just different.
Different. Yeah, I mean, Joe McGuire's built a bully. And his specialty is defense. And this might be a top 10 defense in the country. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's even better than that.
Yeah. I mean, this is Joey McGuire's defense. Like the offense has a fair amount of transfers and guys that Joey recruited. Like, I think 5 of the starters are his guys, maybe 6. But on defense, we're talking 9 of these 11 players are Joey McGuire guys who he brought into the program. And he's only in his second year. Like, he has completely turned face on this. The only two guys who aren't are maybe the two best players on the defense in Jalen Hutchins and Tony Bradford on the interior D-line, which watch for this interior D-line this year. Like, I am not seeing any hype for these guys. And they put up numbers last year. Like, they were legitimately, if you were sitting there watching draft tape for Tyree Wilson, you noticed these two. Because you were like, who are those guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, and then, I mean, we just talked about it, building a bully. I mean, this interior D-line, 6'1", 6'1", 6'2", 6'5", 6'3", all over 300 pounds. And on the edge, 6'5", 6'6", 6'5", 6'3", 6'6", all in that 250 range. And then all the linebackers, they basically average 6'2", 240.
280. 6'6", 80. That is a monster.
And then those, I mean, building that Dan Quinn style defense with the big long corners that can get aggressive with you. All the corners are over 6 foot. Two of them are 6'3", and they're all in that 200 range.
It's I mean, the
crazy.
The corners are like, so Braylon Lux came in this year, and he's, according to the depth chart, he's starting on the outside across from Rashad Williams. Rashad Williams, 6'3", 215. I mean, he is just a pterodactyl out there, right? Yeah. And Braylon Lux is starting across from him. I thought Malik Dunlap was going to be starting on the outside across from him, who's another guy who's 6'3", 220, so another pterodactyl. Yeah. But it looks like Braylon Lux, who's only 5'11", you know, just average corner size, maybe above average. Yeah. That he's the only guy of the top three corners there that you're like, huh, he's not huge.
Yeah. And then we have two safeties that will just knock your head off. Just headhunters. And I mean, this defensive backfield is scary for guys coming over the middle in that spread offense. I mean, you try to, I mean, if you're not open and you try to get a window in there, your guy's getting hit, and he's getting hit hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Taylor Demerson was, he put up some great tape last year, especially against Texas. I think he had multiple interceptions. He had at least one. If he, all I know is when I looked up Dadrian Taylor Demerson on YouTube, I saw multiple picks against Texas, which I just warms my heart, you know? And he
couldn't happen to a better program.
Possibly one of the better safeties in the Big 12 last year, which is not something you should take lightly when you got, you know, some of the best safety talent in the country comes out of Texas high schools, and all six of them always commit to Texas.
Yeah, always.
At the same time, one of them is Texas other safety, league. Tyler Owens, 5-star, committed to Texas, transferred over to Tech because he saw the light.
6'2", 210, runs like a deer.
Yeah. I mean, oh, he's a freak. They got
three.
Tech got 4 guys on Feldman's freak list on the defense, which is really insane. Yeah. Like, they have 4 guys in the top 100 on Feldman's freak list of, like, just freak, which, if you're not familiar, Bruce Feldman every year through The Athletic, I believe, puts out a list of the freakiest athletes in college football. Like, Mozzie Smith was number 1 on that list last year. Tech's got 4 of those guys on this defense. They are going to be, they're big, they're fast, they're strong, they're a bull.
So, supposedly, I think it was the Ravens tried to give up next year's first to trade with Dallas for Mozzie Smith. And Dallas should have just like, no, we'll take him.
Yeah. He's, I said it all through the draft process. There's no way Mozzie Smith getting out of the first round. Whoever got him, like, got a dude just different. Like,
dude, this is either going to be the greatest football season of my life or the most miserable football season of my life. I've never gone into a year where both my college and pro team has legitimate potential to compete. I mean, for Tech, I mean, compete for a Big 12 championship, absolutely. And if everything goes their way, they absolutely can make the college football playoff. Yeah. And then Dallas Cowboys, undoubtedly top five team going into the season.
Yeah, it's a step there. It's a nervous moment for you. I definitely can see that. One last guy on the defense I want to mention that we kind of forgot about is CJ Baskerville, who, if you're familiar with any of Nick Saban's kind of defensive concepts, Baskerville's going to be playing the star position. So that's kind of that hybrid nickel cornerback, safety, linebacker, kind of roams around, plays a lot of different roles.
Think Jabril Peppers, think like Xavier McKinney at Alabama. Yeah.
Who is the Baylor safety that came? Jalen Petrie, Baylor. He played the position. So Baskerville's going to be
the position. He played the position active. For Joey McGuire.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So Baskerville's going to be real active all over the field, always in on plays. And I mean, he's going to be an exciting watch too, because like you said, he played for Jalen Petrie played for Joey McGuire. This is one of the things that McGuire does. It's one of the things that he really focuses in on, is those linebacker positions. And the star is a hybrid linebacker, safety, corner, like a bit of everything. And they need to be really smart. They need to be really athletic. Brian Branch played it for Alabama last year. Like, it's a really fun position to watch. And like, I'll be honest, I don't even know it that well. I'm still trying to learn it and like to understand the responsibilities of it. But there's a lot of detail involved.
Shout out our buddy Jason Baumgartner commenting about Texas Tech's goal is to score 50 points a game to get that 50 burger. I don't think we're gonna get a whole lot of 50 burgers this year, brother, but we got to make up a new name for our defense keeping the opposing offense under 10 points, because I think we're going to see a lot of that.
I honestly think, like, last year we got burned a few times on looking at
big plays. Like, big plays hurt us last year. The defense was really good last year, but they wouldn't bend, but they would break.
Yeah. No, I mean, the two corners we were talking about, the guys who were just like pterodactyls, last year they were really good at getting their hands on the football, at breaking plays up, but they were also pretty questionable at consistently being in the right places. Like, that length helped them get their hands on the balls a lot, but it also, they just had busts here and there.
Yeah.
And Rayshon Williams and Malik Dunlap. And I think that's why Braylon Lux is probably the starter on the outside over Dunlap.
Yeah.
Just because a bit more reliability there.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the big thing for this defense this year, is don't give up the big play. Didn't really gave up a couple of big runs, but not many. But it was passes over the middle, passes over the top. And there wasn't a whole lot of them. But when they came, it just seemed like they came in bunches. It's absolutely something we can't afford this year. And we can't afford to be in shootouts. So that's the only thing that slightly worries me. But we can go ahead and jump into the schedule talk a little bit.
Real quick, I just want to point something out with the defense. So Jalen Hutchins and Tony Bradford, two of the better pass rushing interior D linemen in college football last year. Like, the average pressure rate for an interior D lineman in college football last year was 6.4%. Hutchins was at 8%. Bradford was at 10%. Like, these guys were getting after the passer.
Yeah.
They were a big reason of why Tyree Wilson was doing what he was doing, because it was like, do you double Tyree? Do you double Hutchins and Bradford? Like, do you just lock up the inside and then worry about Tyree on the outside? Like, and
Tyree Wilson had a lot of help last year. He was a freak, but
he's an outstanding football player. But like, this D line did not get enough credit for what else they had on it, and that makes me think that you look at a guy like Miles Cole coming in 6'6", 280. I'm not saying he's going to be Tyree Wilson, but he fits that same mold. And I think that I'm hoping that they'll be able to get similar production out of him. Maybe not on the same game wrecking level, because like, Tyree Wilson's a game wrecker. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like, and him, or Steve Linton at 6'5", 240. Like, they've got similar athletes to what Tyree Wilson is.
Yeah, and I will say another thing. If Tech can play to their potential this year, Joe McGuire is already recruiting at a very high level, like we haven't seen since the Mike Leach era. But if they can do what I think they can do this year, I mean, this is a program that can be top three favorite every year in the Big 12 going forward for the next decade. And wouldn't surprise me one bit if SEC doesn't start calling after about 3 or 4 years if they go to expand again, because, I mean, Joey McGuire is building an SEC team in Lubbock.
Yeah.
I mean, big, fast, strong, good defense, can throw the ball, but, I mean, bully.
Yeah.
Bully ball.
All right. It is, bully is the perfect term for this team. We said that, we said it a lot so far, but I think it's very fitting. This team, just, they're big, mean, and strong. If you haven't gone and checked out the Texas Tech, what are they called? There's the Texas Tech football YouTube channel is putting out the, they call it, what is it? Building the brand is what they call it. It's like, you know, how so many NFL teams start doing their own like Hard Knocks type videos. Like Texas Tech made theirs and it's called Building the Brand, or it's something along with, I think it's Building the Brand, but they're awesome. They will get you hyped up for college football season, for Texas Tech, for the Red Raiders. You'll love Joey McGuire by the end of it. You'll feel like Tyler Shuck is a shoo-in for the Hall of Fame already. They're hype videos and they serve their purpose.
I want Tyler Shuck to be good so bad. I mean, I want to root for the kid. I hope he just goes out there and balls out and wins a Heisman, wins a national championship, beats the shit out of Oregon week two. I want to see all of it.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. But yeah, let's get into the schedule now. I said my piece on the D-line and did a little rambling on top of it.
Yeah, so overall, so with this new Big 12 format, 14 teams, don't play everybody. But I think we do play the two toughest teams in the Big 12, which sucks a little bit, but hey, can only play who's on your schedule. But starting out season, week one, Wyoming at home, not worried about that game whatsoever. Week two, Oregon coming into Lubbock. That's a make or break game for me right there. I think we have to win this game.
Yeah.
And I think if we can win this game versus Oregon, it will give some of the younger guys confidence in this program, but at the same time, really kind of be a jump start to the rest of the season.
And then after that, I mean, there's only one other game on at that time. It's a big game. I forget what it is, but like that's a.
Are we going to Wyoming? We are.
I thought so.
How did I miss that all this time? Oh, well, that's why it's 14 points. Okay. I thought this whole time it was at home. Okay. I still like my minus 20 either way, but I couldn't figure out the reasoning. Yeah, it makes a lot more sense, Texas Tech going to Wyoming. Anyway, still not worried about it.
Yeah.
And then, so at Tarleton, at Stephenville, I mean, it's a throwaway game. I mean, if we lose that game, just fucking burn down the brand new stadium. But going to West Virginia,
it's even finished.
Yeah. We have the two worst teams in the Big 12, in my opinion, back-to-back weeks at West Virginia, then Houston coming to Tech. I mean, I think we should be 5-0 at this point. If we're not 5-0 or 4-1 at this point, then
that highlights the importance of that Oregon game. Like that, like you beat Oregon, you could be looking at 5-0, 6-0, 7-0 before you're hitting TCU, Texas, the big dogs in the conference. Before you're hitting them, you could be looking at, like, these games are super important.
Yeah, and then I mean this is where you get into the thick of the schedule. Basically, don't have another easy game after Baylor or after Houston. We go to Baylor, pretty tough game, but I don't think Baylor's gonna be as good as they have been in years past. I think Kansas State's still a very, very good team. Luckily, they're coming to Lubbock, and we don't have to go to Manhattan for that. So, honestly, this is the part in the schedule where we need a split at absolute worst. If we can get a split, Baylor and Kansas State, I think we can run through the rest of this. I think we can go to BYU and win. I think TCU is going to come into Lubbock and lose. I think we can go to Kansas and win, and I think that Kansas win is going to be a big win. I expect them to be a pretty good football program. I think UCF is very underrated right now, too. I wouldn't be surprised if that's a top 10 matchup or even a top 15 matchup that late in the season. But I expect the last game of the season at Texas to be the first of a doubleheader, because I think they'll immediately play again in the Big 12 championship in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. That's the way this all shapes up to me, unless you lose that Oregon. You lose that Oregon. Yeah. Like, that game is so important for Texas Tech's season. And it's the day if before my birthday. All I'm asking for my birthday is a Texas Tech win, just a little bit early, right before it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if we beat Oregon, we can manage to go into the Texas game with one loss. And if we can manage to beat Texas twice, which would be very, very difficult. But if we could beat them twice, I think that automatically puts us in the college football playoff. I mean, assuming Texas is as good as I think they're going to be, if we only have one loss to Oregon. But if we're undefeated going to that Texas game, haters are going to be so mad when Texas and Tech split, and they're both in the college football playoff.
Yeah. One thing, yeah, that would be wild if Texas and Tech got in the CFP. I don't know if that's happening, but I would love it. It would be awesome.
I mean, Tech plays Oregon, Texas plays Alabama. If they both go undefeated, and let's say Tech wins the regular season matchup and Texas wins the Big 12 matchup, and let's say Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan split, they all have one loss to each other in like a little round robin. I mean, I think it's Georgia and Alabama, but I mean, you look at like who's going to have a better resume with only one loss at that point in the season with some of these teams that all have to play each other. It would be hard to leave them both out. I think Tech would be the one left out. Unless Tech lost at Texas, then won the Big 12 championship. I think that would be the only way they could get in. I think if they win at Texas and lose the Big 12 championship, they don't get in. But I think they can afford to lose at Texas if they win the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, because that really forces the hand of, like, they won at the neutral site, and like they won when it mattered more, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
One thing that's kind of an oddity I see in the numbers here, aside from outside of the schedule, just the overall defensive stats, like this defense was above average for the conference last year in EPA per play, EPA per pass. And they were right at the average for EPA per run, but they were below average in points per game and yards per game. That just seems fluky to me. Yeah, that plays into what you're saying.
Well, that's where the big plays come in.
Yeah.
60, like, 70-yard plays. That
on a play-by-play basis, they were good. It was just a few explosives that really drove those numbers up, which feels like year two of the regime, year two of the defense, you really should see improvement.
Last year, I mean, who did we lose to by like a million? We beat OU, we beat Texas, but we lost to somebody really, really badly that basically kept us from being like a legitimate, like having a shot at the Big 12 championship. Anyway, I think in the first half, they had like three touchdowns, like 50 plus yards. And Tech just gave up after that.
Is it Oklahoma State?
No, I want to say it was...
Let me see. I'm pulling it up. keep scrolling with it. Let's see.
Yeah.
West Virginia. Or no, we destroyed
West Virginia. Yeah, we beat West Virginia last year. We beat OU. We beat Texas.
Oklahoma State, we lost by 10, 31 to 41.
Who was our biggest loss in the Big 12?
It was Oklahoma State.
10-point loss?
Or TCU, we lost by 10, but that game was close all game. Or no, Baylor.
Yeah, no.
I'm sorry, Baylor. It was 45 to 17, Baylor.
Okay, yeah, it was Baylor. That just fucking rolled us. We were a better team than Baylor last year. It's just one of those things. I mean, it was when the dominoes started falling, I mean, we couldn't get back up off the mat. But yeah, so that's something we can't afford this year. Yeah, that's definitely something we can't afford this year. This team isn't built to play from behind whatsoever. So definitely have to.
Well, like, that's one of the reasons Baskerville's here, right? I mean, that star position is pretty important to the integrity of your coverage. Yeah. And they brought in Baskerville to play that role. On top of the other corner they brought in. And I mean, I think the safeties actually played really well all year. It was usually not a safety issue. It was like they're running some type of cover three or quarters where the corners have deep responsibility and a corner might bust or the star might be out of position. It just destroys the integrity of the defense.
Yeah. So I looked at their win total like 3 months ago and I could have swore it was 8.5. You have out here on the graphic, it's 7.5.
That's plus 120. DraftKings had it at about a few weeks ago.
Okay, so I don't know what that's about. Because I said earlier, I thought Vegas had Tech. They were giving them pretty good respect. 7-8 the wins listed after in season last year is crazy.
So I mean, if it was at 8.5 and a little tweak, it's probably at -110. So like that's at +120.
It wouldn't be -110 at 8.5. It would be like at +200 at that point. That's all.
Or wait, no, yeah, wins. You're right. I'm getting it backward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, this is basically saying they're going to go like 6.5 would be like -130 to win 7 games. And you look at the schedule. Okay, so Wyoming, Tarleton, West Virginia, Houston, that's 4. And you're telling me that Vegas has trouble finding 3 more wins here to give the juice on the 8 wins.
Yeah, BetMGM's got him at 7.5.
What the hell? See,
that was August 7th.
I usually don't like betting totals, but yeah, I mean this might have to be a play of the century.
This is a strong one. Yeah, I mean, looks like Vegas is missing the... So, yeah, 7.5 at -105, 7.5 at -105, 7.5 at -135. That's FanDuel, MGM, and Caesars.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's definitely... I mean, you have 4 guaranteed wins on this schedule. And you're telling me you can't find 4 more? Do they count bowl games in your win total?
I don't think so.
Okay. But, I mean, I can't even explain it. Because even if you consider, like, BYU, TCU, Kansas, UCF, Baylor, toss-ups, I mean, you're saying you can't win 2 of those?
Yeah, 7.5 just seems light. Like, I think it should be like 8 or 8.5. Like, that's
a much more difficult
number.
Yeah, no, 7.5 is outrageous. Yeah, I mean, like we said, I mean, we think 4-1, 5-0 after for the first 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's not really pushing the bar much. I mean, that just depends on the Oregon game. We're not losing to West Virginia or Houston.
What's even weirder about that is, like, you look at the recruiting ranks, they've gotten better each of the last 2 years. Like, they weren't, you
Tyler
know,
Shuck
in, the,
wins
in
games.
The doldrums like they were in the past.
And Tyler Shuck wins games.
Yeah.
And Baron Morton's a very high recruit that can sling the freaking rock. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, disrespect. That's what
I've seen since Joe Montana.
The disrespect. I cannot. I am beside myself right now. I mean, we're talking about a team that's going to be the national champions. Their win total 7.5. And if you're not just refinancing your house to put all of your money on Texas Tech win total over, you're insane.
It's the perfect time. Interest rates are...
Yeah. Yeah. Dump that 2.5% rate so you can pull out your 15 grand worth of equity that you've built in the past 3 years.
At 8%.
Just go put it all at Tech at 8%. Probably won't even get your money back at that point.
This is not financial advice.
We are not financial advisors, but it can't lose.
Strong. It's strong.
But, all right, so realistically, assuming that they don't win the national championship, where do you put this team? What is a good season? What is a great season? And what is a disappointment?
I think a good season is 9 wins. 9 wins is like, that's like, I'm content. I'm not like over the moon, but I'm like, Joey's doing his thing. It's on the rise. I like it. 9 wins
is a good season?
Yeah. But
I agree.
I don't think that's the ceiling, but I think that's like, that's where I'm still like feeling good about everything. Feeling good at 8, but like 9, it seems like
it depends on how we get to 8. To me, it depends on how 8 happens.
Yeah.
If one of these other teams in the Big 12 pops up and is just way better than expected and we lose to them, that's okay. But as it stands right now, I don't think I would feel great at 8 wins. I think nine wins is the bar for this team, for Joe McGuire. I think 9 wins is the bar. I think a great season would be 11 wins, go 11-2. And I think a bad season would be anything. I think 8 or less wins would be.
Yeah.
I think
you said it right. At 8, it depends how you get there. At 7, I'm disappointed. And that's not including a bowl game. That's just straight true schedule.
So, I mean, UCF has the potential to be really, really good. We'll see. Kansas, I mean, if they take another step, they could be really good. I don't think TCU has the potential of Tech, but I think they're in a similar... I think they have a similar floor to Tech, but I think Tech's ceiling is so much higher than TCU this year. And then BYU is always weird because it's a bunch of 40-year-olds. And they're not going to go out and win a national championship, but they're 40 years old and they usually don't make mistakes and they just play good, sound football. And if you make mistakes versus them, they can bite you in the ass. So, I mean, if we go to BYU and it's a night game and we lose like 28-25, but we have like 4 turnovers, it's like, yeah, we beat ourselves. Like, that would be one of those situations where it's like, that's why we didn't get to 9. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, can't lose to West Virginia, can't lose to Houston, can't lose to Tarleton, can't lose to Wyoming. I don't think we can't lose to Baylor. And then everybody else, it just depends. If we lose, it just depends on how and why.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's spot on. And I think one thing that's notable too here is this is a huge year for Joey McGuire. Like, he has built this recruiting ranks up, brought in transfers. These are his guys. It's like, if he gets this thing right this year, like 10 wins,
people are going to be coming.
this build it and they will come. Ranks jump into the top 15, top 10, not top 25.
Transfers start coming in. Everything changes. And everybody that's ever been around Joe McGuire talks about how he is just the absolute best guy you could ever dream of playing for. So just gonna get your name on the map, boy.
It's Ric Flair.
Yeah. I mean, supposedly, I don't know how close the Quinn Ewers situation was to actually happening, but the fact that a first year Joey McGuire almost landed Quinn Ewers after he left Ohio State, when literally everybody in the nation thought it was, oh, he's just going to Texas. And I don't know if he did that as a favor to his coach from high school, since his coach from high school and Joe McGuire are like really close
boys,
or if he was actually like considering it. But I mean, that spoke volumes immediately. Whether or not he was had any interest whatsoever, I mean, just the fact that it was public information that it's like, oh, it's not just Texas, like there's a good possibility he might go to Tech. And like I said, whether or not it was true, Quinn Ewers is a boy for that.
always.
But yeah, I mean, that's all I got, man.
Yeah, we are high on the Red Raiders, more so than usual, even.
Yeah,
I mean this is when, a little when different.
I'm a pretty realistic fan of all my teams. Like when I don't think we're gonna be good, I don't sit there and act like, oh, we're gonna go out there and win 9 games, baby. Like every now and then I'll bet a money line, and just so I can be like, oh, I had it, but not really feel too confident. But I mean, this is the most confident I've had in a Texas Tech team since Patrick Mahomes last year, and I didn't really have confidence in that team. I just was like, this dude's good enough to where he might just fucking go out there and put the team on his back, which he did, and the defense allowed 57 points a game.
Real number.
It's probably close. I don't know what the real number was, but it's probably close.
Yeah. It's something like that. I mean, it was a ludicrous comment. But we are here to talk you through Texas Tech all season, to give you our picks all season, and to just talk ball all season. Next week, we'll get back talking NFL. Or next week, not next season. Next week, we'll get back to talking NFL. We'll bring you more college picks. And
we got Oregon, Texas Tech next week, so...
And we got we're talking Bears Packers next week.
Giants Cowboys.
It's a big
week.
It's on.
It's a big week for the boys.
Like Donkey Kong, man. We're back.
It's a big week for the boys.
Oh boy, I'm getting fired up just thinking about it. But
yeah,
who are we not sleeping on? Oh, you're switching it?
Switching it. I mean,
Okay.
I've been looking at this Texans team, man. The receivers. I mean, I love me some CJ Stroud.
I'm worried about Dalton Schultz now, though, man. I'm a little worried about their O line.
I mean, I think Dalton Schultz might catch 70 balls this year. I mean, I'm loving this Texans team, low key. Ooh,
okay. Okay, we can ride it. I still like the Commanders, but as like a team that's just going to consistently cover.
Yeah, maybe. Sam Howell is just. I don't know. I go back and forth on it, but I'm loving this Texans team right now.
Okay.
Well, we can go back and forth. We can change it by week.
Well, I'm just thinking. Is the D'Amico, if the Texans start covering, does the D'Amico Ryan type start taking over and they're not like a don't sleep on them team anymore. Because that was part of my thought process with Ron Rivera. Like, he's been there, he's done that, he'll go unnoticed.
I think D'Amico Ryan's already has the hype. So, yeah, I mean, I think we would lose the don't sleep on this team pretty quickly with the Texans. But, I mean, I think Ron Rivera's lost a lot of his Riverboat Ron days where he was a crowd favorite. Everybody loved him. He was in it till he wasn't type deal. So, I just, Sam Howell, the more I think about it, I'm like, I just don't know. And now I'm higher on the Giants than I was originally. So, I was like.
They made a few moves.
Yeah.
I think
Isaiah Simmons is a huge ad for him. I think Darren Waller is going to be an absolute beast. Jalin Hyatt looked good in the preseason, who I loved coming out of Tennessee last year. I can't believe he fell as late as he did. I mean, just talk about a home run like weapon. I mean, he could be like the second coming of Tyreek Hill. But they don't have that every possession receiver. But Darren Waller could be that for him. Danny Dimes is dangerous on the feet. I think every team in the NFC East has that X factor, except Washington, and that's why I'm like, maybe we sleep on Washington. Maybe they're getting a little too much hype now.
Yeah, I think part of it for me too is wanting an NFC team. The NFC is just so inferior right now to the AFC that, like, I don't know, the Texans got. Gone through this where? One, but on their schedule. Yeah.
I don't remember who the AFC East plays or AFC South plays.
Because if they're playing the wrong division, I don't think you can
say. I want to say they play the NFC East. Might play the NFC East. Because I want to say Texans Cowboys play this year.
They got Baltimore, Indy, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, New Orleans, Carolina, Tampa.
They play the NFC South. They play the NFC South. Yeah, we're not sleeping on that.
Yeah.
They play that.
They
NFC
also
South.
Play the AFC North, man.
Yeah, but they would most likely play two of those teams anyway. So they pick up two more.
Yeah.
Who's their bonus game? So Titans, Colts, Browns, Titans, Jets. Is Jets the odd team out? Is that their 17th game?
No, because, or wait. Yeah, that must be.
But no, yeah. No, Cardinals would be the odd team out. With the NFC team, that's not the South. Yeah, so their 17th game is the Cardinals. So, even more reason. They get the NFC South and the Cardinals.
So, we get Tampa at home, Cardinals at home, Denver at home, Cleveland at home.
Okay. There's rumors that Russ may be benched.
Yeah, it's starting to sound like Russ and Indy at home. Screw it. Don't sleep on the Texans.
Yeah. I mean, if they get good, they're going to be hyped fast. So, I mean, we won't be able to not sleep on them for very long before everybody's on them.
So. The main reason I'm hesitating more than I did, like, because at first it was a tough decision between them and the Commanders for me, but like with Titus Howard and Kenyon Green out to start the season, and Kenyon Green out for the season, that's where I would like, I started falter more. It's like that O-line.
Kenyon Green officially out for the season?
Yep.
I saw he got hurt.
Yeah. Tough for him because he's going to go into his third year without ever having looked good. Like, it's a tough thing to come back
from. But he's a first round pick, so he has a good third year. He'll probably get paid going into his fourth.
Yeah. But it's tough to trust him, I guess I would say. Like, as like the coaching staff, Jim, it's tough going into next year saying, we want to win this year, but we're trusting Kenyon.
Yeah, and at the same time, if he has a good year, they're like, okay, well, let's see it again. And then he does it again. They're like, well, there's no need to extend you. We can just pick up your fifth-year option. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But I think that wraps it for us. We're not sleeping on the Texans. Last-minute change. Called an audible.
Last-minute change. Not sleeping on the Texans. CJ Stroud. Stroud boys on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, CJ. We'll see y'all next week. And Texas Tech. Your 2023, would it be 2023 or 2024? What do they call it? The season that it's in or the year that it's played?
I always say the season it's in, but I don't know what the official term
is. Texas Tech Red Raiders national champions.
This year.
Might be for meat judging. Don't matter. National champions this year. In something.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'll take it easy.
Adios.